It's been a long time since I've been here. But as I was preparing for this day, the Lord assured me that the same God who was here when I was last here is still here today. He is the unshakable God. He is the immovable God. Nothing changes his mind. And once he's made up his mind about his people, there is no demons. There is no power that comes against the Church of Christ. So I am very honored to be here once again. It's amazing what happens when you praise and worship God. It's amazing what can happen. The way that the Spirit of God moves freely. It's amazing. And the Bible tells me and reminds me that where there are two or three in his name, he is there. And it doesn't matter, like Pastor Moradi was saying, it is a cold day today. But you have made the sacrifice to be here today to show God that he is number one in your life. That he is above everything else. He is above the cold. He is above the weather. He's even above the Super Bowl. Amen? Amen. Go Jesus. But yes, it is amazing to be here once again. And like I've always said, this is like my second church. I consider this my second home. And I didn't understand why it took so long for me to come back, but the Lord knows what he does. You know, there's a time of transitioning in everybody's life. And at that moment, I was going through my own. And the Lord was taking me from one place to the next and opening doors that I never expected to be open and closing doors that I never wanted him to close, right? Because how many of us, sometimes it's hard for us when the Lord tells us, close that door because it's going to be detrimental to your faith. And it becomes so difficult for us to just shut the door. But I am here to remind you today that the Lord is with us. And when he says yes, it is yes. But when he says no, it is no. Right? Amen. So I want to go to the book of Psalms, and I want to read chapter 125. And I love this psalm because it speaks about the Lord amongst his people. It speaks of the language of faith in the people of God. And we have gone and are still going through some very troubling times, where we have suffered loss of loved ones, where, you know, maybe our finances haven't been the best, right? And now we're being attacked by every corner by the climate changes and this and that. Or maybe there's a battle at work, but we also have to realize that there's always going to be an internal battle. So the word that the Lord has given me for you today is we need to have immovable faith, unshakable faith. And I'm going to read in the book of Psalms, chapter 125. And we read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Lord, I want to thank you for your word, Father, because we know that your word is true. And we know that your word is life. And I ask for this moment, Father God, that you visit us, Lord, that you speak with us as if we're having a one-on-one encounter with you, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And it begins by saying, those who trust in the Lord. And I love the specificity of the writer here because it is giving an understanding that not everyone trusts in the Lord. And it's hard to even fathom how far the Lord has brought us with all the trials and all the tribulations that we have faced to still believe that there are people who cannot and choose not to trust in the Lord. Why will I not trust the Lord? How can I not trust the Lord? He is the giver of life. How can I not trust that he has my best interest in hand when he sees it all And before anything is happening, he warns us of what's to come. Because that is what his word does. His word serves as a guide. His word serves as a blueprint. His word is the most powerful formula for us to continue to move forward in Jesus' name. How many can say amen? Amen. God is good. So for me, it is very difficult to comprehend and to come to terms with the fact that there are people who are choosing not to trust in the Lord. And the beauty of it is that it's not something that you walk into blindly, because right after, on the second part of the verse, it gives you the benefits of trusting in the Lord. It says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Instantly, we are seeing how we are being compared to Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord will be immovable. Those who trust in the Lord will be unshakable. Those who trust in the Lord are going to stand firm in the conviction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what winds may blow. It doesn't matter what storms may arise. It doesn't matter what sea lifts up against them. They shall abide forever. How many can clap your hands to the Lord? God is good. Now, when we speak about immovable, we're speaking about not being able to move, right? Physically fixed in a place, maybe like a rock, or maybe like a building or a structure, or figuratively impossible to change. Those who trust in the Lord are impossible to change. And what gives me testimony of this is it, the Bible teaches us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, if God cannot be changed, then the words God has spoken upon you, the promises of the Lord upon your life, cannot be changed. Because of your faith. And we understand that the faith, right? Faith is believing in the unseen. Faith is believing in the unknown. Is the conviction of what you cannot see and the certainty. It's amazing to have faith, but it's also difficult for the world around us to understand where that faith comes from. And it's almost like we need to kind of persuade the world of God's love. It's almost like we have to get out there, and it's like we're salesmen. We're trying to sell these people a product, but they still don't know. They still don't comprehend. They're like, how is this beneficial for me? What can I use this for, right? When you see a salesman, he's selling a product. They're like, oh, well, the best time to use this cream, this topical, is for the mornings, right after you wake up. You wash your face, and then you apply this, and then you feel rejuvenated right away. Right? There's always a sales pitch. There's always something. There's always a catch. They never tell you what's in the fine print. But what I love about the gift of salvation is that there is no fine print. For those who believe, the Bible says, they have been called children of God. They have been given the opportunity to become children of God. There is nothing that you have to sign away. There is no hidden fees. There is no catch. There's nothing but faith. Because your faith is what brings you closer to God each and every day. Now, we talk about immovable, we're describing a firm opinion or an attitude, right? I'm the type of person that I believe in the word where it says that our yes should be yes and our no should be no, right? Let our words be yes to yes and no to no. So if I say yes, then I feel like I'm bound, I'm convicted to have to do it. I've always lived my life in a way that I say all I have to show for me is integrity. All I have to show for me is my word. So if I give you my word, I'm not going to say, I promise I gave you my word. I will be there. Now, if circumstances arise that prevent me from fulfilling that word, then I know that there is still opportunity for tomorrow for me to come through with that word. And the same way is with God, right? He gave us a word from the beginning, and his word is always yes and always amen, right? The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He speaks no lies. So if he spoke a future for you, then that future will come to pass before anyone says otherwise. Before anything can happen. What God speaks is a constant yes and a constant amen, meaning that it is already fulfilled. It has come to pass. I remember words when I was a child, and it said that I would preach and that I would sing, that I would speak to many people in different forms of government and different positions, and I didn't know what they were talking about. But I see that today, now that I am an officer, I am around people of government, I am around people of position, and I can still speak to them about my faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where I am today, it matters where God sees me in the near future. And how do I accomplish that? Through faith. How do I accomplish that? By not being changed by everybody's mood, right? Because it seems today like everything trends. It seems today that whatever is trending on social media, everybody wants to do it. If there's a new pastry, everybody wants to try it. If there's a new jacket, everybody wants to buy it. If there is a new theme park, everybody wants to go and experience it. But how come is it that all these things trend and everybody is so quick to follow these trends, but God, who has always been around, has been the one thing that nobody wants to give a full and complete try? How can that be, right? Speak about longevity, right? If we talk about sports, there's always a team that's better than the next, right? And who's crowned the best team in football? Those who win the Super Bowl. But what happens if they don't continue? What happens if there's no continuity? What happens if there's no consistency? Then they start lowering and lowering and lowering, and they probably don't even make it to the Super Bowl the next year. Why? Because they are being distracted. They are being led astray by others' opinions, by others' words, by what other people say about them. But those people are not with them training. Those people are not with them in the field of battle. The same way, there's not anybody next to your side. Nobody sees their tears. Nobody sees what you have to overcome. The only one who sees is a God. So I am here to remind you that he has given you a faith that is unshakable and that is unchangeable, because he is your strength. Clap your hands to the Lord. And I feel very passionate about this. And you may say, you're preaching with an energy of like, if you're standing before thousands. It doesn't matter the quantity, because I don't look at quantity, I look at quality. And I don't look in the flesh, I look in the spirit. And I see all these pews filled. For God has spoken today and has told that man sitting right there with the Patriots jersey that he will lay before him a blueprint, and has already laid before him a blueprint, that he will see the hand of God in this place, and that the, oh my God. Woo! Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that the doors of hell shall not prevail against the church of Christ. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Yes, there are many who wish to see those doors closed. But in the name of Jesus, I am here to say today that those doors shall never close. For God is with his people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you, Father. And all it takes is for a man or a woman of God to stand firm in their beliefs, to stand firm in the Word of God, and say, no devil, no demon, no contrary word to what God has spoken shall come against the church of God. Doesn't matter. Look around you today. What you see today is not what you will see tomorrow. I promise you that. I said I don't promise, but you know what? I give you my word. What you see today, you will not see tomorrow. And I've seen the numbers, and it's happening all over the place. Where the fear, the uncertainty of what's to come or what's to follow, it holds people back. It hinders them. And they say, you know what? I'll stay home and I'll probably watch the video through Zoom, or maybe sickness or ailments are impeding them from getting to the house of God. But let me tell you something. Nothing detains the work of the Lord. No one can come against what God has established. Man has tried. Satan tried and was kicked out of heaven. And today man continues to try to go against the truth of God, to go against what God has established, to go against the family, to go against ministry. But today, God has come to remind us that we have to operate in immovable faith. Clap your hands to the Lord. Now, I'll give you examples of men of God with immovable faith in the Bible. Abraham was the father of the faith. Man, there's no greater. Jesus is our greatest example. But before Jesus walked the earth as a man, there was a man known as Abram who was taken from his land, who was taken out of his comfort zone, who was tried, who went through troubles, who went through hunger, who went through all these different changes. But then the Lord changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And when he became Abraham, he is now known as the father of faith. Meaning that nowhere you look in the Bible will you see a man who had more faith than Abraham. He was the blueprint of human faith. He was the blueprint for faith. He was the father of the faith, a man who trusted God, a man who despite his old age, when God said, "You will have a son," he believed it wholeheartedly. And despite what we see, despite the circumstance, despite the legal notices, despite the agencies and the government that is coming against the church of God, we have to hold on to that faith and say, no matter what our eyes are seeing, our spirit speaks something different. Amen? Praise God. It says in Romans chapter 4, I want to share this with you very quick so we can learn a little more of this man of faith, Abraham. It's amazing the things that we learn as we read Scripture, as we get closer to God through Scripture. Chapter 4 of Romans, verse 20, says in this manner, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." This man believed wholeheartedly. He said, "There is no room for doubt. There is no room for incredulity. If God said it, it will come to pass. If Jesus spoke, then it shall be done." There was a time where the pharaohs ruled the lands of Egypt, and the people of God, the people of Israel, were in captivity. And anything that the pharaoh said had to be done, right? "For it is written, for it shall be done." The Pharaoh had their scribes, and everything that he spoke, they wrote. Why? Because everything that Pharaoh spoke became law. Now I want you to imagine one thing. If that is an earthly ruler who speaks and the law is made, how much more when God speaks? It says that even nature hears, obeys. It says that the demons tremble at the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, man, God is good. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel taken and captivated by the presence of the Holy Spirit today. And you may say, there's not a lot of movement, preacher. There's not a lot of praise going on. Yeah, but you know what? There's a nice, calm, still spirit moving in this place. And it feels so amazing to be in the presence of God. Oh, man, hallelujah. I got to clap my hands. How many want to clap your hands with me? Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you. So this is a man who is known as the father of the faith. And after Abraham, we have other examples. We've got men like Job. No other man like him on earth. Righteous man. Right? That even when Satan, may the Lord rebuke him a million times, even when Satan disguised himself as an angel to come before the presence of God and to speak ill against this man, God said, "Hey, have you not considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on earth." And you know what this enemy of our souls tells our Lord? He says, "Of course, he serves you. Of course, you've given him everything. He has all the resources. You have not taken your hand from upon him. You have not removed your blessing from him. Of course he serves you. Of course you could speak so beautifully of him. Now, do you think that God knew Satan's intentions? Why? Because before Satan speaks, incredulity, negativity, contrary, God speaks first. Before Satan could come with accusations, God says, but I gave my only begotten son to die for their sins in the cross of Calvary. So Satan, it does not matter what accusations, it does not matter what complaints you have against them, because I am the one who supports them. So before Satan could come with any allegations, Brother Mike, any accusations, Brother Mike, anything that has been written against you, you have God who fights for you, and greater is he who fights with us than those who fight against us. I'm going to get clapping hands to the Lord. I told you I'm passionate. Brother Dylan told me, I hear you were going to bring the fuego. Brother Dylan, God is allowing your words to come to pass. He is bringing the fuego, and fuego is just fire. I promise before we leave today, you're going to know at least three Spanish words, okay? So God is bringing the fuego. He's bringing the fire. Amen. Now, Job, who remained faithful through immense suffering. Right? Sometimes we say, Lord, but... And in our own minds, we think, we're the daughters and sons of a king. You know, we serve a God who makes the impossible possible. We serve a God who is he's plentiful, abundant. How is it that I'm going through all this? Job had faith in the midst of his suffering. Why? Because the Bible tells me that he is perfected through our weaknesses. When we realize that we are man, when we realize that we are limited, when we realize that we have boundaries, God steps in and says, I know no boundaries. I know no limits. I am that I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I am the beginning and the end. Nothing starts without me, and nothing ends until I say so. So when man has put an expiration date, when man has put an eviction notice on your door, I am says, No. When man has set dates, when man has done this, when man has done that, when government has done this. That's why I agree with Pastor Moradi when he says we have to pray for our government, legislative, executive branch, local branches. We have to pray for them because they may think that they are in charge, but above them is one who is the creator of the universe, God Elohim. Unmatched. Unmatched. Exactly. He cannot. What he's done cannot be erased. History has tried. Books have tried to erase the works of his hand, and they cannot. For his work is manifested each and every day when the birds chirp, when the wind blows, when you take your first breath in the morning. He is the giver of life. Amen. My soul worships the Lord. Daniel in the lion's den. Right? We're not talking about men who just lived a normal lifestyle. We're talking about men who decided to stand firm in their faith and face lions and face trials and tribulations and face death and face change. Because the God who calls you will prepare you for the change. Dylan, the Lord was telling me, Dylan has said, here I am. And I'm saying, okay, Lord. And I was on my way here, and I'm like, okay, Lord. He said once again, Dylan has said, here I am. I'm like, amen. I bow to pray, and I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit come before me. And he said, now you will speak. Now you will understand. When we say, here I am, man, it's like telling God, okay, do your thing. Do what you will. Come what may. Here I am. Whatever comes against me, whatever turns against me, whoever turns against me, here I am, Lord. Send me. I am at your disposition. It's time to forget about position and start looking into the disposition. Because we all want to acquire a new level. We all want to get a promotion. We all want to do this. We all want to do that. But have we ever stopped to ask ourselves, is that what God wants for us? Ah, man, I remember living a time where my father would even ask God for guidance to take us to vacation. I remember those days. I remember my father, we were all excited. He's like, oh, we might be going on vacation. And then he would get down and pray, and he'll pray for weeks, and then the Lord said, it's not the time. And he's like, sorry, kids, it's not the time. And I couldn't understand that. Why? Because I was a child. And I was upset, and sometimes even angry, right? Because we pray and we ask for these things, and Lord, this is what I want, and we're so easy to ask, but we're never there to take our time to slow down and say, Lord, is this what you want for me? I know this is what I want for me, but is this what you want for me? Oh. Daniel was unshaken in his conviction. He prayed 3 times a day. And then they signed an edict, a declaration against anyone who would pray to another god besides the king or the gods that they believed in, that whosoever prayed to another god shall be thrown into the lion's den. And that is when Daniel said, you know what? Not only am I going to pray 3 times a day, now I'm going to pray with all the doors and the windows open so that they could understand that doesn't matter what law they sign against me, doesn't matter what allegation or accusation they may have against me, the God who I serve, the God who I believe in, shall rescue me, shall deliver me from the mouths of the lions. Right? So it's not about a question of why, it's not a question of when, or how, is a question of what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm facing all these trials. I'm facing all this. But above all, I have to face you someday, Lord. And I have to give account for everything that I did, good or bad. Are we ready for that day? Are we ready for the great judgment day? Are we ready? Can we seriously go before God and present ourselves with diligence, As a worker who has nothing to be ashamed of? Can we do that? I know I'm still working on some things. I know I'm not perfect. But you know what else I do know? That my faith is solely in Him. Through sickness, through disease, even through me thinking that I was never going to be able to walk again or losing my mind, even going through a deep depression that I didn't think was possible, I can say the Lord delivered me from all that and continues to deliver me from attacks that I don't even see coming. Why? Because I am refuge in my faith in Him, but I'm also refuge in His word, and I'm refuge in prayer. Because how else am I going to learn what God wants to speak to me if I don't take time to speak to Him? Right? Prayer answers all. Prayer answers all. Worship is great. Worship is great. Singing is phenomenal. But prayer is the key. You know they have sayings that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Right? That's what they say. Is it true? Judging on Dylan, it's possible. Judging by my brother Dylan, it's possible. It's possible. Not even a year yet? Yeah. Yeah. Keep an eye on him. He's going to grow more in love and abundance. How many can praise your hands to the Lord? Clap your hands to the Lord. Sorry. He's good. Right? And it's amazing, right? It's amazing that just to think of the beautiful things that God spoke. And I remember years ago coming and speaking with my brother Dylan, and now seeing everything that the Lord spoke to him just come to pass and come into fruition. It's amazing, right? So don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. It might be Dylan's turn now, but your turn is next. But you have to maintain the faith. You got to maintain the faith. You got to fight. Keep moving forward. Show an unshakable faith. Show a resolve that no matter what anybody says or thinks, you're not going to be moved. Show them that, as the psalmist says, you are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Show them as Abraham did. Show them as Job did. Show them as Daniel did. Show them as Paul did. Because all these men faced persecution in different levels. Right? Abram, the father of the faith, went through so many things just so that we can understand the history and what it took for us to be able to stand on a pulpit and glorify God. This is amazing. Technology is amazing. Right now I'm reaching so many people through a little lens. That's amazing. Before, the church had to hide, choose a home and give a meeting and then disperse again. Today, we have set days, set hours that we can worship and praise with liberty. And we don't see the importance of all that. And the greatest thing of all, is that as God was with his people before, he remains with his people today. As show God that you are able to overcome your doubt. And I think that's one of the biggest, nowadays, is one of the biggest plagues in the church and the body of Christ today. Doubt, incredulity, disbelief. There's so many different ways to say it. Doubt. But there are so many examples of people who overcame their doubt, right? We talk about people like Thomas, right? Thomas didn't believe that Jesus rose again. It took for this man to have to touch the wounds on the hands of our Savior. Those wounds that were created for you and me when he gave his life for us in Calvary. When he shed, he was willing to suffer for us and take those nails on his hands, take those nails on his feet, wear that crown of thorns. He was willing to do that for us, to shed his blood for us. He was willing to go through immense torture, immense suffering, so that you and I could have salvation. And still, we're being plagued by doubt. The Bible speaks of days like this, where not many will suffer sound doctrine, where not many will come to the feet of Christ, where people will choose to be lovers of themselves before loving God. When one of the most important and impactful commandments is, you shall love God above all else, and that includes yourself. There's people who say, I have to make sure that I'm okay. I have to make sure that this is okay before I can do this, before I can come do that. And they don't realize that when you put God first and you come to the days of service, when you choose him, when you choose his to give him his time, the same way we choose to give our work time, right? We give our family time. And then we leave God in a corner like, we'll get to you eventually, Lord. Just let me, like the man said, when Jesus said, follow me, he said, Lord, but let me go and bury my father. Right? Oh, but Master, I have to go and do this. But Master, I have to go and do that. That is still so present today, unfortunately. So very present. But Lord, let me make sure that the casserole doesn't get burned. Lord, let me make sure that I get the kids to school. And then we have the Holy Spirit sitting like an elf on a shelf. We're living our lives. We're doing everything that comes to hand to do, but we're leaving the Holy Spirit sitting like an elf on a shelf. And then we pick him up We spend a couple seconds with him, and then we move his location, like an elf on a shelf, and we put him somewhere else. Right? And it becomes a game. It almost becomes a skill, mastering how not to spend time with the Lord. That's why I said the greatest gift, the greatest tool, the greatest resource that we have. Singing is beautiful, worshiping is beautiful, praising is beautiful, but speaking with God is important. And it is even more beautiful because that is what we learn what He wants for us, what He wants to speak to us. See, the important is not what we want to say to Him. The importance is what He has to say to us. That is the importance. Right? And I've spoken to so many different people in my walk with Christ, and I've always heard different answers. Right? If you want, you have to ask because you don't receive because you ask wrong. And they always, and some people focus on what they have to say, and okay, I said what I have to say, right? As if God was like a hotline that you just contact and just tell your troubles and tell your woes, and then, all right, thank you, I'll call back tomorrow, and hang up. God is not a complaint department. He's not there to take your complaints. You know, God, so it's almost like a transaction. Right? You got to give something to get something in return. Right? So don't just give something and walk away. You got to wait for your return. When you go cash your check, do you just go and leave your check and like, all right, see you tomorrow. Thanks for the service. No. You expect money back. See, and that's the greatest guarantee that we have in this life with Christ. It's better than money back guarantee. It's salvation guaranteed. When we speak to God, when we get closer to God, when we seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, everything else is added on. It's like a bundle package, right? And I remember as a kid, I used to listen to get internet, get a phone, get home phone, get this, all bundled up in one package. That sounds beautiful and everything, but I want to have something better. I'm not just going to go to God and just say what I want to say and then walk away like, oh man, whew, that's a load off my shoulders. I feel so much lighter. And then God's like, you'll learn. Right? Because sometimes we're impatient, right? We just can't wait. When we get on our knees, we're like, Lord, this happened today and this happened today. Oh, thank you, God. And then you just walk away. And then God is like, okay, tomorrow's another day, we'll wait. And then you come back tomorrow and it's the same thing. And then God has to, you know, because there's no communication, He has to find a way to speak to you some other way, right? Might be a billboard. Maybe He has somebody call you. But you know what's greater? That we have the ability to get the answers before having to call anybody, because He communicates with us, right? The sense that the veil was torn so that we can have direct communion and communication with God. When before, you had to go before a priest and present an offering and to see if your offering was even accepted before you can get an answer from God. Now today, we have communication. We have a direct line to God. Direct access. Better than any wireless, any Wi-Fi, internet, any signal. The thing is that God's signal is never down, right? There is never any glitches, right? There is never any technical difficulties. No. He's always there to listen, but He also expects us to listen to what He has to say back. Amen? Amen. And we're finishing. People in the Bible who overcame doubt, like Thomas, Gideon, who tested God through the fleece, right? And people tell me, how do you have this unshakable faith, Brother Juwan? I'm like, well, as Gideon, as Jacob, I like to put signs before the Lord. Yeah, why not? I like to have tests. I want to test the fleece, right? I want to be able to have confirmation that my next move comes from God. But how am I going to get that confirmation if I refuse to talk to Him? It goes back to the beginning, right? To overcome doubt, I have to have communication with Him because I have to have the answers that I'm seeking. Right. People like Moses questioning his ability to lead. Oh, God. And it's amazing, right? Because it's so, it's common sense that if the Lord reveals himself to you as a burning bush, right? It's common sense that he has something greater. He has something that he has to say to you. He is allowing you the privilege and the honor of seeing him manifested as a burning bush. You know what I would give for God to manifest himself in a billboard? I don't need a burning bush, Lord. Give me anything. Give me any sign, right? We're at a stage where we're desperate now. We're desperate. We want to hear a word. We desire for a preacher to come and speak word upon us when all the answers have already been laid out before us. Moses, questioning his ability to lead. God chose to manifest himself to you, Moses. Why would you have excuses before the Lord? And it goes to show us that it keeps happening today. God has this divine intervention in people's lives, and they're like, but how? What do you mean how? He's revealing himself to you. And it's almost like we can't comprehend it. We can't fathom what's happening right before our eyes. Right? We ask for the church to stop being persecuted. God puts somebody in office that is now for the church, and we're still like, oh, but he's doing this and that and this and that. We have not been called to judge men. We have been called to pray. We have been called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have not been called to give our opinion. Because the church doesn't have an opinion. The church has a truth. We don't have an opinion as a church, as a body of Christ, as the people, the children of God. We don't have an opinion. We have a truth. And we know that God is the one who sets kings, puts them in position, and he's the one who takes them out. Amen? So it doesn't matter. Maybe government has forgotten who put them there. But I promise you, soon enough, we shall see the hand of God. And we shall be reminded that we may not understand his plans, but his plans are great. Because he is the God of good. He is good. He is the embodiment of good. And we may think that some of the things that he has done are not good for us, but I promise you, and I can tell you today without shadow of a doubt, it is good for everyone because he is good. Okay. How am I not going to listen to the God who was pierced for my transgressions? How am I not going to listen to the God who was crushed for my sins? Who took my consequence upon himself? How am I not going to listen to him? How am I not going to listen to the God who sent Jesus for a moment where Peter was walking above the waters and then doubt settles in his mind and he begins to sink? How am I not going to believe the God who stretched his hand out? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How am I not going to believe? How am I going to let my faith be shaken? It is time for the church of God, whether two or three, whether four or five, to stand firm in our faith in him, in our conviction in him, and not be led astray and not be shaken, right? It's like James Bond, right? Every time he took his drink on the rocks, shaken, not stirred, right? What about us? I stand on the rock that is unshaken and unstirred. Christ is unshaken. Even when they came against him, why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why are you working on the Sabbath? Why? I'm not telling you to go out there and disobey the law. I'm simply telling you that when you leave here today, you understand that above earthly law, there is a God-given law. And one of those promises that he will not leave us until the very end. Things we may not understand today, we will come to understand tomorrow. But we have to stand firm, because if the church's faith is shaken, then I don't want to imagine what's going to happen to a world without Christ. If we're the ones going through trials and tribulations now, if it's getting difficult for us, I don't want to imagine what they will be going through if the church closes its doors, if the church gets up from their knees, because the way that we reach victory is on our knees. The highest position before God is a man and a woman on his knees. We have to go back to the old days. Go back to the sound doctrine. Go back to the first love. But we spoke with God every single day, every single moment. And I'm talking about the car, the shower, school, work. I'm talking about everywhere. God is not a random God. Never has he been described in that manner. There's nothing random about God. Everything he does has a purpose, and everything he says has and will be fulfilled. Don't think that what's happening to you is random. It's of chance. No, there is a divine plan for each and every one of our lives. God is not a God of chances. God is a God of chances, not a God of chance. He gives chances, one after the other, one after the other. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. He's the God of chances, not a God of chance. He is a God of opportunity, not an opportunistic God. He's a God of opportunity, not opportunistic. God is an awesome God because there is all in and of him. We stand in awe every day when we see his glory, right? We stand in awe when we see his works. But there's also awe in him because there is a mystery that has to be discovered through prayer. The Bible says in Jeremiah, call out to me and I shall respond, and I will show you, reveal things to you that you do not know and you have never known. So there is awe in him. And there is awe of him. All who stand before him stand in awe of what he's done, of what he is, of what he'll do. Why? Why are we compared to Mount Zion? Because it's a symbol of God's chosen dwelling place. In the book of Psalms, it says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." He chose Mount Zion. He chose to dwell there. He desired to be there. And what does that mean? If in the beginning of the first verse of Psalms 125, it says, those who believe in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. We are being compared to the dwelling place of God because God left his throne, became man, lived amongst us, saw our suffering, bore our suffering, and has said, I choose you as Mount Zion because I want to dwell in you. I want to live in you. Such an immense and sovereign God wants to live in me, wants to live in you. The church is the Mount Zion that Psalms 125 is referring to. It signifies that just as Zion stands strong, so do people rooted in God's eternal love and all his covenant promises. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." There's answers. It's a sacred site for major events, right? Mount Zion has been a sacred site for major events, such as the Last Supper, such as the descent of the Holy Spirit, and also is known for the location of the temple. But what does the Bible teach me later on? Yes, Mount Zion is the location of the temple of God, but what does the Bible teaches me? That my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Mount Zion and I are one in the same. Therefore, when God is speaking of Mount Zion, he is not referring to a geographical location. He is referring to his church. He is referring to his people.
He evolving from a physical hill where King David built his city to a symbol for the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of Jesus Christ. We are that heavenly Jerusalem. We are the new Mount Zion. We are the people. We are the place God has chosen to dwell in. We, the church and bride of Christ, are the new Mount Zion. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. We are the salt of the earth. We are the body of Christ, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We are children of God. So before doubt settles in your mind, remember who you are. Satan may try to tell you who you are, but you have to remind them who God says you are. He may say you failed, therefore you are a failure. He may say you fell, therefore you cannot get back up. God, you're an abomination before God. But we have to remember that God says that we are a chosen people. Says the just falls seven times, and seven times he gets right back up. The righteous. Why? Because we are righteous of God. We are righteous people. That does not exempt us from going through trials and tribulations and loss of faith and incredulity and doubt. Those things will plague us. Those things have been plaguing us. But we have to remember that we are children of God. The same way our children fail us. Right? We set rules and regulations and our kids break them. Do we stop loving them for that? Do we stop loving them? Pastor, you have doctrines. You have dogmas in the church. Somebody disobeys them. Are you going to stop loving and praying for them because of that? The backslidden have left. They have backslid. Do we stop loving them for that? Do we stop going and leaving the 99 and going for them for that? No, we don't. The same way, God will never abandon us or forsake us. He is with us. He is here. He is there. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is God. And I end with this. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood Abel. This is who we come to when we pray. We come to God, the creator of the universe. We come to God who has never lost a battle. We come to God, our healer. We come to God, our deliverer. We come to God who didn't see importance in keeping his throne and left his throne and became man and lived amongst us and bore our sins and bore our transgressions and bore our suffering. And I tell you today, that same God is God today. He's God yesterday, he's God today, and he's God forever. Thank you for this opportunity.